السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد،
فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي وربي زدنا علما. اللهم فقهنا في الدين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 59 to 69 of Surah An-Nisa today. And we'll start with the word meanings now. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها أو الذين those who آمنوا they believed أطيعوا. This is a command, and we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people when he says this, because the waw at the end is followed by an aleph. The waw aleph in the end tells us this is plural. So atwi'u, you all obey Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa, and atwi'u, you all obey ar-rasul, the messenger, wa, and uli, possessors, al-amr, of the matter, or of the authority. Minkum, min, from, kum, all of you. Fa, then, in, if. Tanaza'atum, tanaza', dispute among yourselves. Tum, all of you. Fi, in, shay'in, anything. Fa, then, ruddu, you all return or refer. Hu, it, ila, to Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa, and ar-rasul, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In, if, kuntum, kun means to be. So kuntum, you are, or you were, tu'minuna. This comes from the word iman, which means to believe. Datta in the beginning tells us, datta in the beginning means you, and the una at the end tells us this word is plural. So, you all believe. Billahi, be in Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa, and al-yawm, the day, al-akhir. Al means that, and akhir, last, meaning the day of judgment. Thalika, that, khayrun, is best, wa, and ahsanu, most suitable. Hasan is the root word here, and that means good or beautiful. Ahsanu, most suitable, or most good. Ta'wila, in interpretation or final results. Alam, a is used to ask a question. Did, lam, na, tara, you see. The ta in the beginning tells us that this means you, and then ra'a means to see, that's the root word. So tara, you see, ila, towards, alladhina, those who, yaz'umuna, they claim, annahum. And we know this is they. The word yaz'umuna is third person and plural, because the ya in the beginning tells us this is third person. So it either means he or they. And the una ending makes it clear that this is plural. So yes, umuna, they claim, anna, indeed, hum, they, amanu, they believed, bima, be, in, ma, what, unzila, was sent down or revealed, ilayka, ilay, to, ka, you, meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa, and ma, what, unzila, was revealed, min, from, qabalika, before, and then the ka in the end means you. Yuriduna, arada is the root word, and that means to want. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yuriduna, they want, or they wish, an, that, yatahakamu. Hakam is the root word here, and that means to judge. Hakama means to judge. So yatahakamu, they go for judgment, ila, to, at-tagut, the forces of shaitan, the rebellious forces, the false idols. Wa and kade, in fact, umiru, they are ordered or commanded. This comes from amr, which means a command. And umiru, we know, is passive. It begins with a dhamma, and then the right before the ru, which is a, and this is a verb, so before the ru ending, we see a kasra underneath the meme, so this tells us this is passive. And vowel alif in the end tells us this is plural. So umiru, they're ordered, an da yakfuru, they disbelieve. Kufr is the root word, and that means disbelief. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. Vowel alif in the end of this verb tells us that this is plural. So yakfuru, they disbelieve or deny. Be with he it. Wa and yuridu, he wants. Ash-shaytanu, the shaytan. An da yudillahum. Dalal is the root word, and that means to straying, to go astray. Yudilla, he leads astray. Hum, them. Dalalan, a straying. Ba'ida, one far away. Wa and ida, when. It was said, lahum, la to or for hum them, ta'alaw, you all come. We know this is plural because it ends in vowel alif, and we know it means you because there's a ta in the beginning. So people are being addressed. Ta'alaw, you all come. Ila to ma, what? Anzala, he revealed. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and ila to ar-rasul, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ra'ayta, this is past. This is in the past. So ra'ay, saw, ta, you. Al-munafiqina. Al-munafiqin means the ones who were hypocrites. Okay, al means the, and munafiq means a hypocrite. Ina ending makes this word plural. So al-munafiqina, those who are hypocrites. Yasudduna. Sadda means to stop and hinder. So ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So they stop or hinder. Anka, an from, ka, you. Sududa, a definite stopping or hindering. This is the same word as yasudduna, but a different form of it. And sadda is the root word. Fa, so, or then kayfa, how, idha, when. Asabatum, asaba means to reach or afflict. Asabat reaches hum, them. Musibatan, a misfortune or a calamity. Bima, be, because of. Ma, what. Qaddamat, sent forth or forwarded. Aidihim, aidi, hands, him, theirs. Thumma, then, ja'uka. Ja'a means to come, to go or to come. And ja'a, to come. And ja'u is plural because it ends in waw sukun. So ja'u, they come, ka, to you. Yahlifuna, they are swearing. Half is the root word, and that means to take an oath. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yahlifun, they are swearing. Billahi, being by Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in, not. Aradina, we wanted. So arada is the past tense of arada, which means to intend or want. So arada, wanted, and then it's followed by the pronoun na, which means we. Illa, except. And it's because of this illa that the in before aradana means not. Okay, otherwise it would just mean if. So in na aradana, we want it, illa, except ihsanan. Ihsan means utmost good. Wa and tawfiqa, reconciliation. Ula'ika, those, alladhina, are those who, ya'lamu, he knows. Ilm is the root word and that means knowledge. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So ya'lamu, he knows. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma, what? Fi in kulub. Kulub is plural for the word qalb, which means heart. Kulub, hearts, him, theirs. Fa, so, arid, turn away. An, from whom, them. Va'idhum, wa and idh, admonish whom, them. Wa and kul, say. Lahum, la, to whom, them. Fi, concerning, or in, anfusihim. Anfus means souls, him, theirs. And when we put this together, it makes more sense to just say themselves in English. Anfusihim, themselves, qawlan, a word, baligha, one penetrating or reaching. Wa and ma, not. Arsalna, arsal, sent, na, we. Min, from Rasulin, any messenger. Illa, except. And it's because of this illa that the ma at the beginning of the ayah means not instead of that or what. Okay, because it's shortly followed by illa afterwards. So wama arsalna, and we did not send min from Rasulin, any messenger, illa, except li yuta'a, li, so that yuta'a, he is obeyed. B, with idhni, permission, Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walo, wa and lo, if, anna hum, anna indeed, hum, they, idh, when, zolamu, they did wrong, or they did injustice. This comes from the word zulm, which means injustice. And this is a verb in this case, and it ends in waw alif, so we know it's plural. So a lot of people are doing this. Zalamu, they did injustice, or they wronged. Anfusahum, themselves. Ja'uka, ja'u, they came, ka, to you. Fastaghfaru, fa, then, istaghfaru, they sought forgiveness. Istighfar is the root word, and that means to repent, to seek forgiveness. And this ends in waw alif, so we know this is plural. So fastaghfaru, then they sought forgiveness. Allaha, from Allah. Wa and istaghfara, sought forgiveness. Lahum, for them. And istaghfara is singular. So he sought forgiveness, la, for whom, them, ar-rasul, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la wajadu, la, the short lam fata. This is not lam alif, which would have meant the complete opposite. Okay, lam alif means not. So please pronounce this right. The la has to be very short at the beginning of this word. La wajadu, la, surely. Wajada means to find. And this is plural because it ends in waw alif. La wajadu, surely they found. Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawwaban, greatest acceptor of repentance. This comes from the word tawbah, which means repentance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawwaba, greatest acceptor of repentance. Rahima, another attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this comes from rahim, which means mercy. Rahima, one always all merciful. Fala, fa, then, la, no, wa, by, rabbika, rab, lord, master, sustainer, ka, yours, la, not, yu'minuna, they will believe. And we know that the root word is iman, ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, una ending makes this word plural, so yu'minuna, they will believe, hatta, until, yuhakimuka. Again, hakama is the root word, which means judgment. Yuhakimu, they appoint as judge, ka, you. Fima, fi in, ma, whatever, shajara, branched. or arose, baina, between, hum, them, thumma, then, la, na, yejidu, they find. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. Waw alif in the end makes this word plural. So yejidu, they find, fi, in, anfusihim, themselves. Harajan, a tightness or a constriction. Mimma, this is a compound word made up of min and ma. Min means from, ma, whatever. Qadaita, you decided. Qada means to decide. Okay? To decide a matter, an affair. So qadai, decided. Ta, you. Wa, and. Yusallimu, this comes from Islam. Okay, that's the root word, and that means submission, right? When we accept Islam, we completely submit to Allah. At least that's what we're supposed to do. So yusallimu, ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. Waw alif in the end makes this word plural. So yusallimu, they submit. Taslima, a complete submission. Or yusallimu also means to accept. Taslima, a complete acceptance. Wa, and. Law, if. Anna. Anna, the short alif fatha with a noon mushaddad means indeed. And then noon alif at the end means we. Katabana. Kataba means to write, meaning to ordain or order. Katab, wrote or ordained. Na, we. Alayhim, upon them. Alay means upon, him, them, an, the, uqtulu, this comes from qatl, which means to fight or kill. And here this is a command, and waw alif in the end tells us this is plural. Uqtulu, you all kill, anfusakum, anfus, souls, kum, yours, meaning yourselves. Aw, or, ukhruju, khuraja means to leave, to get out. And this is a command, and it's plural. It's addressing a lot of people because it ends in waw alif. So, ukhruju, you all go out. Min, from, diarikum. Diar is plural for the word dar, which means home. Diar means homes. Kum, yours. Ma, not, fa'aluhu. Fa'alu, fa'al means to do something. Fa'alu is plural. It ends in waw sukun. So fa'alu, they did. Who? It. Illa, except. And again, it's because of this illa that the ma before fa'aluhu means not. Otherwise, the ma would have meant that or what. So ma fa'aluhu, they did not do it. Illa, except. Qalilun. Qalilun, a few. Min, from, hum, them. Wa, and. Lo, if. Anna, hum. Anna, indeed. Hum, they. Fa'alu, they did. Ma, what. Yu'adhuna, they are advised. This comes from the word va'av, which means to advise. Okay, like we learned above, va'ivhum, and advise them or admonish them. This is the same root word. So, yu'adhuna. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. Una ending makes this word plural. So it means they. But they're not the ones doing the advising. They are advised. And we know this is passive because the ya begins with a dhamma. And the una ending, right before that, we see a fatha on the ayin. So you aduna, they are advised. So this is passive. Bihi, be with, he, it, lakana. Again, this is the short, lam fatala, which means surely or definitely. Kana, it was or would have been. Khairan, best, la, for, whom, them. Wa, and. Ashadda, most intense or most strong. This comes from shadid, which means strong or intense. And ashadda, the alif fatha before shadid makes adds more depth to this word. It emphasizes it more. So ashadda, more strong or intense. Tathbita, in strength or firmness. Wa, and. Even, then. Okay, idha means when, and even means then. La, Again, this la is short, lam fatha. It's not la, meaning not, it's la. Surely, ataina, we gave. Na means we, hum, them, min from, ladun, near. Na, us, ajran, a reward, azima, one great. Wa and lahadainahum, la, surely, hada, huda is the root word and that means guidance. Hadayna, we guided. The noon means we. Hum, them, siratan, a path. Mustaqima, one straight. Wa and man, whoever, yuti'i, he obeys. Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa rasula. Wa and ar-rasul, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fa ula'ika, fa, so ula'ika, those, ma'a, with, alladina, those who, an'ama, he favored, or bestowed favors, or grace, allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alay, upon him, them, min from an-nabiyyina, this is plural for the word nabi, which means a prophet, and al means the. So an-nabiyyina, ina makes this word plural, the prophets. Wa and al means the. Siddiqina, truthful ones. Siddiq means truthful, and ina ending makes this word plural. Wa and ash-shuhada, al means the, and shahid is the root word, which means a martyr. Okay, or a witness, and in this case it means martyr. Shuhada is plural for that word, martyrs. Wa salihin, wa and al means the. Salih means somebody who's righteous, somebody pious, and ina ending just makes this word plural. Wa salihin, and the righteous. Wa and hasuna, how good or how excellent. Ulaika, those. Rafika, as companions. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll begin the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. O believers, so we should listen up closely because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all of us. O believers, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The stronger a person's iman is, the more they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. When people are firm in their belief, they naturally say, Sami'ana wa ata'ana, we heard and we obeyed. That automatically happens. But for other people, the ones with the weak iman, normal people like us, that's hard to do. But if they did that, then they're sure that they have to obey without any doubt. People obey easily when they have a strong iman. If anyone has doubts or hesitates before they obey, it's due to their weak iman. Sometimes people don't think it's necessary to obey the hadith, to follow the hadith. They think it's enough to just follow the Quran. But we should remember that the Sahaba, the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to listen to him. As soon as they heard him say something, they used to obey. Once they entered the masjid and they heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, sit down. And they sat down right away without even checking to see if it's a suitable place for them to sit or not. And a little later, someone saw them sitting there and asked why they were sitting there. And they said they heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell them to sit. That person said that he had not told them to sit. He was speaking to someone else when he said that. Subhanallah. But that's just an example of how they used to obey him without ever hesitating. They wanted to obey him. People who reject the hadith nowadays, and there are a lot of people out there who do this, and they're among the Muslims, from Muslim people. They especially target the youth. Okay, they try to convince them to not believe in the hadith. So we have to clarify that they're wrong when they do that. They say that they only believe in the Quran or hadith that are according to the Quran. They believe in those. And they claim that the rest of the hadith are all fabricated. They came like 200 years later. So they're all fabricated. Na'udhubillah. However, we should know that all the fabricated hadith called mawdu'at have been separated already. Okay? So nobody can be deceived by the fabricated hadith. We know when the hadith is weak or when it's a strong hadith. Okay? We know when it's authentic. There's no confusion about the authentic hadith at all. But they even doubt that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us clearly, أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ. Obey Allah and obey the messenger. So implementing the hadith is just as important as the Quran. Obeying Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is basically like obeying Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that in the Quran. Whoever obeyed the Rasul has in fact obeyed Allah. So how can people who reject a hadith implement that ayah? It would be impossible for those who reject a hadith to follow that ayah. And next, a third group that the believers are told to listen to. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, and those charged with authority among you. So we're told to listen to those people as well. But the word atiyu isn't used with ulil amr, like it was used with Allah and Rasul. So does that really make a difference? Yes, it does. If the beginning of the ayah said, wa atiyu Allah wa Rasula wa ulil amri minkum, that would have meant atiyu, or obey all of them, Allah, Rasul, and those with authority among you. But here, the word atiyu is used only with Allah and Rasul, okay, but not with ulil amr. And that means that we're told to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always, in all matters, under any condition. Okay, no matter what situation we're in, we have to obey them. But when it comes to the ulil amr, they will only be obeyed as long as their orders are according to the orders of Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they go against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we cannot obey the ulil amr. So who are the ulil amr? People who are in charge, like the government of the country you live in, or the admins, or a teacher of a class that you attend, the organizers of an event that you attend. So you have to obey those in charge of that place that you're at, as long as they don't go against any orders of Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And why is it important to obey the ulil amr, those with authority? Is it actually important? Yes, it is. As long as they don't go against the orders of Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's because the system would only run smoothly if there is somebody in charge and everybody's listening to them. That doesn't mean that those people can run your whole life. They can just tell you what to do with matters that they're in charge of. If people obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Rasul, but they rebelled against others who have authority and chose to do whatever they felt like doing, there would be chaos everywhere. So people cannot choose to disobey government officials just because they don't like them. When those officials are in power, people have to listen to them, unless they order anything that goes against the orders of Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So people must obey the law and order. Another example of listening to the ulil amr, those in authority, is when you go somewhere and you're told to line up and wait for your turn. You can't refuse to to listen to them, right? You can't say that, no, I don't want to line up and I just want to go ahead of everybody. Okay, but when those in charge command you to disobey Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you're supposed to refuse to listen to them, because then you can't obey what they're telling you to do. You can't listen to them. There was a time when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed a leader, and he sent him to the Sahaba. Their leader told those Sahaba to get firewood and build a fire, and then he said to jump into that fire. The Sahaba hesitated, and one said to the others that they accepted Islam to save themselves from the hellfire. So wouldn't it be wrong to jump into the fire? So they thought about it, and it just didn't make sense. So they decided to go and ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam what they should do. And they thought that if Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells them to do it, they would, because they knew they had to obey the leader, right? So when they asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them that they were right in not jumping into the fire when the leader commanded them to. Because if they had jumped into the fire, they would have ended up in the hellfire forever for committing suicide. He said that people are only supposed to obey the ulil amr when it comes to good things and actions that are according to the rules of Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can't obey the laws that go against Allah's rules and the orders of His Messenger. There are many places in the world today where gay marriage is allowed now, but that doesn't mean that Muslims can accept that and think it's okay. Okay, it's not okay, and we must believe that as Muslims. And there are some parts of the world where the government has banned the hijab, but that doesn't mean everyone stops wearing a hijab there. So Muslims can only obey the rules of the authority that don't go against the rules of Allah. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ, then if you have a dispute in anything, and that can be about religion or other matters related to life, فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, then refer it to Allah and His Messenger. Whenever there's a difference of opinion between people and they're confused about what they should do, they should turn to Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a decision. Meaning that they should turn to the Quran and the Hadith. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, if you truly believe in Allah and the Last Day. So we are told to turn to the Quran and the Hadith if we really believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment. If we are really Muslims, this is what we have to do. So we should check to see what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in a similar situation, or what he decided or judged for someone when they were in the same situation as us and asked him for judgment. And that should be done in the case of an argument, or when people have to receive their shares that they're entitled to, their rights, and they disagree concerning the amount or other things. So we have to turn to the Quran and Hadith if we consider ourselves Muslims. This is how we can tell if our iman is authentic, if we're able to take judgment from the Quran and Hadith during disputes. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, if you truly believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment. So the base or the source has to be the Quran and Hadith. And nothing else is mentioned here. Just the Quran and Hadith. Any disputes between people, even between couples, can be settled by turning to the Quran and a Hadith. ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. That is better and more suitable. This course of action will lead to the best results. So we have to listen to what Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us in the Quran and Hadith. Turn to them whenever you're trying to resolve any issues, whether it's passing judgment, making judgment between your kids, okay, whether they're young or older, or when there's an argument between people at work. The decision must be based on the Quran and Hadith. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about people who turn to others for judgment. They don't turn to the Quran and Hadith. And they do that because they're afraid of receiving a strict order from the Quran or Hadith. Or they think that Islam would not give them rights that some others would. Astaghfirullah. So they go to others for decisions regarding their disputes. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops telling us about the people of the book. And He tells us about people who claim to be Muslims when they're actually hypocrites, because they find it so difficult to obey the orders of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know the munafiqeen back then used to praise Allah. The munafiqeen, meaning the hypocrites, they pretended to be Muslims, but they were not really Muslims at heart. They pretended to be just like all the other Muslims. They prayed Salah, they used to go to the masajid and fast and do all the other things the Muslims did, but it was just so difficult for them to obey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not want to obey him, and they used to clearly say that they would follow the Quran, but they wouldn't follow what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Now we'll learn about what else they used to do in the upcoming ayat. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ. Have you not seen those who يَزْعُمُونَ, they claim, أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, that they believe in what has been revealed to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and other prophets before you. They claim that they believe in the Quran and whatever was revealed to prophets before you, meaning Islam. So they believe in the former books too. At least that's what they claim. They say this, but do they actually do this? Do they actually believe in those things? يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ. Yet they desire that the judgment in their disputes be made by Tawut, meaning the forces of Shaitan. They want judgment to be made by people, by forces, societies, governments, or judges who cross the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who transgress. All these things are taghut, and they're the complete opposite of Allah. So those people want their disputes to be settled by taghut. وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَن يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ. Even though they were commanded to reject them, they were supposed to reject the taghut. So what kind of Muslims are they? They claim to be Muslims, but they want their disputes settled by taghut. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here. And there was an incident that occurred that led to this ayah being revealed. There was a dispute between two men. One wanted to go to Ka'b bin Ashraf, who was a leader of the Jews, for judgment. And the other wanted to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for judgment. And in another incident, a man claimed to be Muslim and was known as a Muslim, but he was actually a hypocrite. When he got into an argument with a Jewish man, he told the Jewish man, let's go to Ka'b bin Ashraf and he will decide between us. But the Jewish man said, no, let's go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That sounds strange, right? The Muslim should have been the one to say that they should go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he didn't. And that's because he thought he would give Ka'b bin Ashraf some money to make the decision that he wanted to hear. But the Jewish man knew that he was right. He hadn't done anything wrong. So he knew that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always fair, and he would decide in favor of the person who was right. So he insisted on going to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for judgment. When they went to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did in fact decide in favor of the Jewish man. But the Muslim man was not satisfied with that decision. So afterwards he said, "Why don't we go to Umar radiallahu anhu?" He actually thought that Umar radiallahu anhu was strict, so he might favor him just because he was Muslim. They went to Umar radiallahu anhu, and the Jewish man told Umar radiallahu anhu that they had come to him, but Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already decided in his favor. So Umar radiallahu anhu went and got his sword, and he killed the hypocrite who claimed to be Muslim, because his hypocrisy had become clear. We learn this from the explanations of the Quran, but the hadith is weak. But this is why the next ayah was revealed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are people who claim to be Muslims, and they claim that they believe in the Quran, but they go to Tawud for decisions. وَيُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُدِلَّهُمْ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. And Shaitan wishes to lead them far astray into deep error. He wants to mislead them. This is for people who claim to be Muslims but don't accept the judgments of Islam. They want others to judge between them instead. There are places in the world where there are Islamic courts parallel to the legal courts, but people are afraid of following Islamic law because they think it may be overly strict, then that's not true. So they actually turn to Tawud, the other laws, for decision instead, even though they claim to be Muslims. And many women who live in non-Muslim countries prefer to follow the laws of those countries over Islamic laws, just for their own benefits. Okay, benefits that they wouldn't get through Islamic laws because they're unfair. They do this in matters pertaining to divorce and custody. Okay, and those laws are sometimes very unfair to men. They know that they wouldn't like the decision the Islamic court gives them, so they prefer to go to others for judgment. They turn to Tawud. They don't like what Islam decides for them. But people like that are actually hypocrites, even if they claim to be true believers. And that's what Shaitan wants, to lead Muslims astray. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ. And when it is said to them, "Come to be judged by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in accordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed," رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنْكَ صُدُودًا. You see that the hypocrites show their utmost hesitation in coming to you. They were afraid of going to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they wanted temporary benefits of this world. They don't want the decision to be made by Allah, so they don't have to risk going through any temporary laws here. They put the Quran aside and they don't think they need to implement it in their lives. But if they had been believers, they would not have sought judgments other than those of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. True believers obey the orders of Allah and the Messenger as soon as they hear them. And that's the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us here. Obey Allah and obey the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَكَيْفَ. So how? إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Do they behave when they get into trouble as a consequence of their own doings? ثُمَّ جَاءُوكَ يَحْلِفُونَ. Then they come running to you, swearing, بِاللَّهِ, by Allah. إن أرادنا إلا إحسانا وتوفيقا. That we did not desire anything but to promote good and bring about reconciliation. Then they used to say things like this. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was regarded as the leader in Medina and also a judge. So people used to go to him for judgment. And it was so unbelievable that some of those Muslims avoided having to go to him for judgment. And for us, that means that we should turn to Hadith for judgment because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam isn't here anymore. Okay, but we still have his judgments with us that we can follow. So we have to turn to a Hadith. For example, all the things we've been learning about recently related to inheritance and the rights of the spouse, do we fully accept them? Or do we run to others for judgment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they fall into trouble because of their own deeds, that tells us that we have problems due to our own sins. We face problems. Even what happened in the incident when Umar radiallahu anhu killed the man for going to him for judgment after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already decided. That was a weak hadith, but he got killed because of his own doing, his own actions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who turn to others for decisions are not true Muslims. They're actually hypocrites. They rush to Muslims when they get into trouble and they claim that they were always with them. And they just want everyone to live in peace and harmony. That's why they involve the others too. But that's just how hypocrites are, even now. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is really in their hearts. They don't go to others because they wish to live in peace among everyone. They actually do it for their own benefit. فَأَعْرِدْ عَنْهُمْ. So turn away from them. Leave them alone. وَعِذْهُمْ. And admonish them. Advise them. وَقُلْ لَهُمْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا. And speak to them effectual words which may go deep into their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do three things. And this is what should be done when dealing with hypocrites after it's proven that they are actually munafiqeen or hypocrites. We can't tell if anyone is a hypocrite or not, right? We don't know. But even then, we don't do this when dealing with people. We start to mistreat them, even when we suspect someone. We're rude to them. But we're told to ignore what they say or do and just turn away from them. We're not supposed to be on their case, as if we can somehow punish them. Secondly, we are supposed to admonish them in a way to try to soften their hearts so they are positively affected. But we usually start arguing with people. We have to remember that we can only advise people about what's best for them if we're patient when dealing with them without getting worked up. And this is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to do, even after he was sure that some of them were actually hypocrites and they were going to others for decisions when he was around. So they were hypocrites. He was sure about it, but he was still told to do these three things. And the third thing he was told to do that we must try also is to say to them words that would reach their hearts and affect them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had found out who the munafiqeen were. And many times we read that Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, O Rasulullah, if you allow, I will kill this munafiq. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him not to do that. And he said that Muslims would be known for having their own people killed if they did that. You know, he didn't start treating them badly or taunting them, mocking them, or saying bad things to them. Instead, he did the three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to. And it wasn't easy. Imagine doing this with the leader of the hypocrites, Abdullah bin Ubay, when he slandered Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beloved wife. he was still kind to him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam still treated him well. And when he died, his son, who was actually a true believer, asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give his shirt to bury him in. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it. He even went to pray Salat al-Janazah for him. And he was a big hypocrite. All the Muslims knew. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept advising him all throughout his life without ever saying to him that, oh, Abdullah bin Ubay, you never came to me for judgment, so you shouldn't be sitting here now with me and my companions. He never turned that hypocrite away. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And we did not send any messenger but to be obeyed by Allah's leave. So the only reason the messengers were sent was to be obeyed. They weren't sent for any other reason. So there's no point in sitting here praising them if we don't follow their example. That is the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them, as role models for us, so we can try to follow them. We should learn about their lives and follow what they did. That was the only point of sending Rasuls. However, it seems like so many Muslims love and respect them, but we don't bother following them. We should think about this. Okay, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here, and try to remember that they were sent to be obeyed. So we have to obey them. We don't have a choice. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ. If only they would have come to you when they had wronged themselves to seek Allah's forgiveness. And if the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had also asked Allah's forgiveness for them. This is about those who wronged themselves or went to others for a decision, ignoring what Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had decided for them already. They harmed themselves by disobeying Allah. If they went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam afterwards and sought forgiveness from Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Surely they would have found Allah forgiving and merciful. SubhanAllah. If they realized what they had done wrong and regret what had happened, if they had then made the intention to only turn to Allah and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for judgment, for decisions after that, and if they felt so bad that they asked Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for forgiveness, never to repeat those sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have accepted their repentance and he would have been merciful to them. But some Muslims don't understand this ayah. They misunderstood this ayah. Okay, and they believe that even now, when we sin, we're supposed to ask Allah for forgiveness and then also go to Prophet ﷺ's grave to ask him for forgiveness. That only then Allah would forgive us. But that's not what this ayah tells us to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that people who left Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and turned to Tawud for judgment instead, we're supposed to go to Prophet ﷺ and ask him to forgive them. This was when he was still alive, so they had to do this because they had not obeyed him when he had the right to be obeyed. They went to others instead, so they had to ask him to forgive them. It doesn't mean that people now are told to go to his grave and ask him to seek forgiveness for them. It was those people who turned to others for judgment when he was around who were told to seek forgiveness from Allah themselves and to go to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and request him to seek forgiveness for them also. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed the complete message of Allah to us without leaving anything out that would benefit us in any way. And he warned us about all the things that we need to be aware of. And he never told people to go to his grave after his death and ask him to seek forgiveness for them. He never said that he would take people's forgiveness and present it before Allah and then it would be accepted. Okay, he never talked about this. And the Sahaba never did this either. When they followed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's instructions very closely, none of them did that. So this ayah ordered those hypocrites who went to others for decisions to turn to Allah and repent and then go to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him to seek forgiveness for them also. And this part proves to us that someone else's dua can benefit us also. So we're allowed to ask others to make dua for us, for forgiveness, for our sins. But as for the hypocrites, they didn't really honor Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as they should have. So they didn't bother going to him to ask him to seek forgiveness for them. They thought that he was just an average person, like them. Now, the next ayah coming up is really important. We should actually highlight it. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ Then know by your Lord. So, first of all, why does this ayah begin with فَلَا na, la, sorry, which means no? Why does it begin with a no? And some other ayat also, like لا أقسم بهذا البلد, no, I swear by, and then the rest of the ayah continues, right? So why does it begin with no? A couple of these ayat do. It's because the no at the beginning emphasizes what's coming up next. Like when we speak to someone and we say, no, that's not true. The no at the beginning is not really necessary, but it just adds more depth, right? It emphasizes what we're saying, that we really mean it. So no, that's not true. So فَلَا, then no, وَرَبِّكَ, by your Lord. The wa is used to swear here, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by your Lord. This means Allah has sworn by himself. So whatever is coming up is very important. It has to be big. لا يؤمنون. They will never be true believers, even if they claim to be. حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم. Until they accept you as a judge in their disputes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us before too that if you're true believers, you would turn to Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then differences arise between you. When there are differences, when they arise between you, then you wouldn't turn to others like people who aren't true believers do. They turn to others for decision. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by this and telling us that it's impossible for someone to be a true believer until they do this. It makes no difference if we have Muslim names or not. We cannot be true believers if we don't let Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam judge between us in whatever disputes arise. And secondly, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا Then they do not find any resentment in their hearts. مِمَّا قَدَيْتَ Against your verdicts. Against what you decide. And thirdly, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا And they accept them with complete submission. They fully submit after that. So again, what are the three requirements for all believers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you cannot be a believer until you fulfill these three requirements. So we have to understand this. The first, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a decision. The Sahaba used to have differences of opinions sometimes too. Like with how to perform the yamum. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu said the yamum is done one way, and Umar radiallahu anhu disagreed and he said it's done a different way. So they rushed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask him to tell them what the right way was. But that happened when he was still alive. Now we have to turn to the Quran and the Hadith to figure out what's right. And what he said should make it easier for us to figure out the right way of doing things. But it's not enough to just do what we learn from Hadith. this means that we cannot be upset about the decision that's made for us according to the Quran and Hadith. Okay? So it's not enough to just follow. We have to be happy with it. Okay? We must fulfill the second requirement, which is to not resent in our hearts whatever is decided in the least bit. We have no right to object to anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered. We can't be unhappy about following their orders. If we don't like their decisions, how can we say that we're actually believers? As Muslims, we can't think that deen restricts us in any aspect of life. Okay? We can't think that it's too strict or complain about any of Allah's rules. Whether we understand them or not, we must be happy with them. And thirdly, we're told to accept the decisions of Allah and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with complete submission. We should just submit once we hear those orders and just say we heard and we obeyed. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. We must follow when we hear an order from the Quran or Hadith. Even if it's an imam who guides us to do something differently. And the imams are also included in the ulil amr that we learned about, since they're in charge of our religious affairs. So we follow their guidance, but not if they say anything against Allah and His Messenger's instructions. We cannot follow them when they're disobeying Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we have to submit completely to the Quran and Hadith. Okay? We always do, in order to be considered believers. And this goes for everything in life. We must implement this in all aspects of life. At work, at home, with relatives, everything. And let's try to think about the things with which we don't accept the decision Allah and Prophet ﷺ made for us. We have to come up with a list of things we have trouble accepting, so we can reform ourselves. Or even if we do what we're ordered to by Allah and Prophet ﷺ, if we don't do it happily, it's not right. Instead of thinking that it's a burden for us, we should happily and willingly follow those instructions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that constriction or the tightness people feel is anfusihim. It's in themselves, meaning it's in their hearts, even if they don't say it. They feel a grudge against the person making the decision sometimes because they don't want to do it. But we learn that there should be no dissatisfaction when obeying the orders of Allah and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many times, practicing Muslims look at non-Muslims and they think that, oh, they're having so much fun, they're so much better off. They long to do what they see the non-believers doing because they think they're enjoying themselves. They complain that they are having fun and they aren't restricted from doing anything they want to do. But if we feel that way, it means that there is a tightness or a resentment in our hearts against the decisions Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made for us. Then we need to work on ourselves. So far, we learned about one thing that was very difficult for the hypocrites, and that was to obey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second thing they had trouble doing was fighting in the way of Allah, because they weren't willing to risk their lives in the way of Allah. Many people used to be martyred once they left for jihad, or they came back injured. So the hypocrites weren't willing to put their lives on the line for Allah. When they accepted Islam, they hadn't expected that they would have to do so much or struggle in the way of Allah. They accepted Islam when things were going well for Muslims, and they were not willing to sacrifice anything now, especially to leave their homes to fight in the way of Allah, even though it was required. بَلَوْ أَنَّا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ. And if we had commanded them, meaning if Allah had made it fard, or obligatory for them, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the munafiqoon here. But nowhere in the Quran does He address them directly, saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُنَافِقُونَ. Oh, hypocrites. He doesn't say that. And that's because they had declared the Shahada and claimed to be believers. Allah addresses the believers in the Quran saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. But He doesn't say this to the hypocrites in any part of the Quran directly. He says here that if He ordered them to fight in the way of Allah, and they think it's too difficult to do that and obey Prophet ﷺ, and if they aren't satisfied with His judgment in their hearts, if they had been ordered by Allah, أَنِّكُتُلُوا أَنْفُسَكُمْ, to sacrifice their lives. That doesn't mean suicide, but it means that if they were ordered to kill people from among themselves, the guilty people. Like, remember when we learned in Surah Al-Baqarah, when the Bani Israel had worshipped the calf? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to kill their own people, those who did shirk. That was their punishment. So Allah says that if the hypocrites were ordered to kill the hypocrites from their tribe, أَوِخْرُجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ, or to leave their homes, مَا فَعَلُوهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ, very few of them would have done it. Now why does Allah say that? How is it connected to the last ayah where we learned about the hypocrite who went to Umar radiallahu anhu for judgment after Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When Umar radiallahu anhu found out, he killed him. But his family came complaining that he was killed by Umar and they wanted retribution. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ayah, saying that if He had ordered them to fight in the way of Allah or obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not many of them would have done it. We need to stop and think about why this was mentioned here. It's because it was difficult for them to accept judgment of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah says that if this was hard for them, and that's why they're here complaining that their man had been killed, what would have happened if He told them to kill the hypocrites among their own people themselves? They should have killed that hypocrite themselves instead of complaining that Umar had done it. How could they reject the decision? Imagine if they'd been told that it was fard for people to kill the hypocrites from their own tribes or to leave their homes. Most of them would not have done it. They find it difficult to just submit to the orders of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was much easier. So they would have never sacrificed their lives or left their homes if they had to. That means that if people can't do easy things like obeying Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they can't do difficult things. They are all talk. They can't do much at all. And this is how lots of Muslims are now. We act like we would sacrifice easily a lot for Islam if we have to, but we can't even follow the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our nafs gets in the way. When we try to follow the sunnah, we feel uneasy and we act like it's the most difficult thing. And when we try to stop doing anything Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us against, we feel a tightness in our chest because we don't want to stop doing those things. Even when we obey, we don't do it happily. We don't submit right away. Imagine what we would have done if Allah had ordered us to do what He tells the hypocrites here. What He tells us about the hypocrites. Would we have actually been able to do those things? People who don't submit when it comes to small matters won't ever be able to obey when it comes to big things. So we learned that we have to do small things first before we're able to do more challenging tasks. But shaitan makes us think that these small things are burdensome and that we will do something big one day or more important when we get the chance, like sacrifice our lives. But if we can't even make small sacrifices for Islam, we're not going to be able to do anything great like that because we just aren't used to submitting. So we need to focus on implementing the things that we can apply first, and then maybe we'll be able to do something important one day. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُعَذُونَ بِهِ, yet if they would have done what they were commanded to do, لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ, surely it would have been better for them. If they had obeyed Prophet ﷺ as soon as they heard his orders, it would have been better for them. وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا, and their faith would have been strengthened. They would have been more steadfast and their iman would have been stronger. So when we need tathbeet, or steadfastness, we have to take baby steps first to get to that phase. We can't just get up and attempt to do big things that are difficult. Once we're able to do small tasks easily without giving up, we are better trained to be steadfast, and then we can attempt to do big things. So if they had listened to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, their iman would have become stronger. They should not have been complaining about their relative being killed. They should have known that it was wrong for him to go to anyone else for judgment after Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam decided already. وَإِذًا لَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ لَدُنَّا أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And then we would have given them an extra reward on our own if they had done what they were supposed to in terms of obedience to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That clarifies that people are granted great rewards after they obey Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and do small things first to show obedience. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala doesn't demand people to do big things all of a sudden, and He hasn't made anything difficult for us. Like, He doesn't tell us to pray all night. Okay, many of us would claim that, oh, if He had made that fard, I would have done it. But not many of us would have been able to. We even have difficulty doing the 5 daily prayers that are fard for us. Okay, even though they're so easy to do. But we have issues even with those. So Allah has not ordered anything difficult. And this ayah tells us that if we remain steadfast, maybe Allah will give us the strength, the tawfiq, to do big things one day. وَلَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And surely we would have guided them to the right way. All these things would have happened if they obeyed Prophet ﷺ. They would have been granted steadfastness, great reward from Allah, and been guided to the right path. We ask Allah to guide us on Sirat al-Mustaqim every day when we read Surah Fatiha. If we obey Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah will grant us the ability to follow that right path. But we must obey Him if we want to be led to the right path. We have to be pleased with His orders and leave our wishes aside. Prioritize what Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered so we can practically try to do what He did and follow the right path. It's not enough to just make dua for that. We have to make the effort. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ. And whoever obeys Allah and the Rasul, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ. And those are the ones who will be in the company of those whom أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah has blessed. Who are they? When we read Surah Fatiha and ask Allah to guide us on the path of those on whom He bestowed His favors, the list of people coming up next are the ones we ask to follow. They had certain qualities that made them blessed. Not worldly things like being wealthy or educated, but they had other character traits that made them special. And Allah told us, whoever obeys Allah and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be with those special people mentioned. So we must obey the Quran and the Hadith. Because the Quran is the actual words of Allah, and Hadith are the statements of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What would happen if we implemented those, the Quran and the Hadith? It would be good for them, and they'd be granted 3 things we learned about: steadfastness in Islam, great reward, and guidance to the right path. And also there are glad tidings for them that they'll be in the company of great people, minan nabiyina, of the prophets, from the prophets, was siddiqina, and the truthful ones, was shuhada'i, and the martyrs, was salihin, and the righteous. These were the people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed favors on. Siddiqeen were special people who were always truthful and always supported the truth, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Shuhada also have great ranks because they sacrificed their lives in the way of Allah. Salihin were righteous people, but there are different degrees of the Salihin. And when we learn that the prophets made dua to be joined with the righteous, وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ, it wasn't that the prophets asked to be at a lower rank that they were already at, because we know that the prophets have the highest ranks. But below them are the Siddiqeen, and below them are the Shuhada, and Salihin are the rank below them. The rank of Salihin is a level, and it also means pious people. So when the prophets made that dua, they asked for the company of the pious people to be with them. If anyone may be wondering what they'll get from obeying Allah and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is what they'll get. We know that nobody can work hard and become a prophet. It just doesn't happen. If someone keeps working hard, but they're not a Siddiq, a Shaheed, or a Salih person, they still have a chance of ending up with them. Because if that person strives to obey Allah and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam all throughout life, he fails and he tries over and over again. After failing many times, he attempts again. If that person dies in that condition, while struggling to obey Allah and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah will include him with those great people who have high ranks, just because he was trying his best to follow their path. Okay, to obey them. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And what excellent companies they will be. Rafiq are friends who are pleasant to be around. People you can relax around. Imagine those great people being your Rafiq. SubhanAllah. Imagine someone getting to their ranks just because he was trying to follow them. And there's a reason why this part, this ayah was revealed. Inshallah, we'll cover that next week. But if anyone really loves the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the other Prophets, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, and the Salihin, they would try to copy them. Because people we love, we do try to copy, right? We can't just claim to love them. We have to prove it by loving their example and trying our best to follow them happily. And it's natural to copy the people we love anyway. Okay, so follow in their footsteps so we can be included among them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to do that. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen ya rabbal alamin. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.